Good morning. We're glad you're here today. Thank you for being a part of our service here at Lake Point. And if you're here with us and this is your first time with us here, welcome. And thank you for being a part of our service here this morning. And as you came in, I hope you got a program. And inside that program is a card. We call it a connection card because we want to connect with you. And if you could just take a minute, find that card, fill it out, and then at the end of the service, on your way out, there's offering baskets throughout the building, or you can give it to me. I'd love to meet you right after the service here, and we just got a free gift for you. And so please stop by and see me after the service. And we had an incredible first service this morning, and God was just doing some incredible things right there. And there was a person I had been... So I've had conversations, me and some of the staff, and he had about a year ago, and he had came this morning. He had been agnostic. In other words, he doesn't believe in God, believe there's something out there. And this morning after the service, he came for the first time this morning, and then after the service, he said, "Hey, Pastor, I'm on Team Jesus." Amen. And so today came to know Christ. God is doing something. God is still on the move. And I tell you, it's by the way, I just want to recognize real quick before we jump into this, our missionary Thomas and Chad. We all stand for a minute. And Thomas is a missionary. Thomas is a missionary in Kenya, and we're glad to have him here with us, and thank you guys for being here with us, and Chad is on the board, and mission board, and organization that support them, and they're here with us this morning. And but I just really quickly, today we were going to really kind of start the series, but honestly we're going to kind of postpone it 1 week, and here's what's going on. I had a message. And the message today was about how to be a spirit-led follower as one of the main components of what it means to be an everyday disciple. How to be spirit-led. And I got the message done. Really, really, really excited about bringing this message this morning. And had it done, had it written. Actually, had it written a few weeks ago. And so just really kind of really looking forward to this. And then, of course, with everything that's happened in this past week, I began to hear the voice of God, which is, you know, one of the things that I talk about in the spirit-led, being a spirit-led follower, is listening to the voice of God. And so this week, you know, I began to hear God, you know, toward the end of the week on Friday night, up late, you know, just wrestling with everything that's happened, you know, with all the events that have happened in this past week. And just wrestling with all of this, up late till 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, just praying, just kind of seeking God, just kind of, you know. And it's on that Friday night, I began to hear God say, "Scott, I want you to change your message." And at first, you know, I wasn't sure. At 2 o'clock in the morning, am I really hearing from God, or did I have a bad burrito, you know, from Taco Bell? I mean, I'm still trying to rest and say, okay, I'm going to sleep on it. Because I really was kind of holding tight to this message that I was going to bring today, and I was kind of holding on to it. And so I wake up the next day, and I go to the office, and I came to the church office and work a little bit, and I started hearing God just say, "Hey, I want you to think about changing your message a little bit," and a couple of things that were kind of being thrown at me in different ways. And I said, "Okay, God, I'm not sure that I'm hearing you very well. I'm 80% deaf, and I'm going to write something else and to kind of get some other thought for a plan B, just in case." But as the day goes on, by the end of the day, it was very clear that my plan A sermon had became a plan B sermon, and a plan B sermon became plan A. And I thought I listened to the voice of God. And so today, you know, I'm practicing what I was about to preach this morning. We're going to be preaching on spirit-led follower. You know, maybe this is a spirit-led pastor moment, you know, and it's just letting God speak to you. And I want to talk about just what God has been doing in us, and talk about the brokenness of humanity, really, from the past few weeks. You know, we've seen how broken our world is. You know, a gunman opened fire during a school mass at a Catholic church in Minnesota, killing 2 kids. Awful. Ukrainian refugees seeking safety in America mow down a train in Charlotte. It's senseless. Colorado, we had another high school shooting. And on that same day, Charlie Kirk was shot and killed. And just to be honest with you, the last few days, I've been feeling just numb. Just, God, what is happening? I think about Charlie Kirk, and I think about here with the man, you might not agree with your politics, but here with the man who loved Jesus, who would tell people about the gospel. We're helping people to change their thinking, and we're killed for it. And I thought about, man, I preach a message that's not popular. I preach a message, and some people will say that I'm very narrow-minded, that there is one way to heaven. There's not another way. The only way to heaven is through Jesus, plus nothing and minus nothing. In a world that says, hey, that's unkind. That's not nice. That all roads lead to heaven. And it's not popular when I say there's one way. Every headline just seems heavier than the last, doesn't it? And our hearts are grieving. Some, maybe your emotions are anger. Maybe there's some anger in your emotions. Maybe your emotions are confused. You know, my kids are asking me about, I mean, they knew him. I was like, you knew who he was? Oh, yeah. Now, many of us were just left asking, where is God in all of this? And so for many of us, it's been a heavy, heavy week, and I have found myself really in the last few weeks, I have just been kind of meditating on the chapter of Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and I've just been there. And to give you the backdrop of Philippians, Paul's in prison. He's in Rome, in prison, maybe in prison for the last time in his mission life. He had been beat up. He had been, you know, left for dead. Been in prison so many times. I mean, that guy had more lives than a cat. But I think Paul here in Philippians knew that, hey, I'm running out of lives. God has been good, but I know my days are coming to an end. And so there's just uncertainty in his life. He didn't know what's going to happen next. Is he going to survive this? Is he going to die? Which eventually he loses his head. To Nero. However, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he wrote these words and show us how you and I, in heavy times, how you and I can find peace. How we can find peace. Isn't that what we want? The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, this is what he wrote. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, that's what we're after, right? The peace of God, which transcends all understanding. It's beyond how we can explain it. He said, it will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Talk about here in verse 7, the peace of God. And it's writing it to believers because believers, and only believers, can have the peace of God. You see, if you want to have peace of God, you first have to make peace with God. And there may be someone here this morning you have never made peace with the God who loves you so much. But there is a divide between you and God, and that is sin. And sin has separated you from God. But God has made a way, God has made a bridge over that divide through the cross of his son Jesus, so that you can have peace with him. And the ball, my friend, is in your court. You have to make the decision to follow. You have to make the decision, just like my friend did this morning, who gave his life to Christ. He said, I surrender, I give my life to Jesus. I am a follower of Jesus. And he asked Jesus to become his Savior, to be Lord of his life. And you have to make that decision to make peace with God. And once you make peace with God, then you can start having peace of God. The peace of God does not live in a non-believer. But those who have made peace with God can have peace of God. And so Paul, he's talking to the believers who can have the peace of God. And he said, hey, those of you who are troubled, those of you who are going through some, you're going through a rough time, the circumstances are beyond your control, and let me show you, believers, how to have peace in the middle of it all. How to have peace of God. And he showed us how to do this, and he said right here in verse 4, we've got to rejoice in the Lord always. And in case you didn't hear Paul, he said, I will say it again. Rejoice. And I know some of you are thinking, really? I'm supposed to rejoice? I'm supposed to have joy in all that's happened in this mad world that we're in? I mean, my life is falling apart. My marriage is falling apart. I'm about to lose my job. And Paul, thanks, Paul. You want me to have joy? You want me to rejoice? I want you to listen. I don't want you to miss it. Notice what Paul is telling us to do here. He's not telling us just to rejoice. Notice that he says that we are to rejoice in the Lord. See, that's different. The verse here is a call for us not to a feeling, but to a decision and a deeply rooted confidence that God exists, that he is in control, and that he is good. And Paul is teaching us here, hey, you've got to remember what's true about God. You've got to rejoice what's true about him. And the question is, what's true about him? What is true about God? And we see this right here in verse 4 and 5. Two incredible truths about who God is. And once we understand it, it will lead us to a proper place of behavior, a place of peace that only God can give. You say, what are the two truths of God that we need to rejoice in? We've got to rejoice, number one, that God is good. That God is good. What is this? That God is what? Good. That God is good. And then over here on the other side, we've got to rejoice that God is in control. Say it with me. God is in control. God is what? Good. God is over here. He's what? Good. And we need to position ourselves between these two solid pillars of truth. Right here in the middle. And this right here is the place of peace. This is where the peace of God lives. When we have the peace that we have God, that we believe that God is good and that God is in control. Now listen to me. Oftentimes, in our humanness, we drift and we tend to be out of balance. And we hold on to the pillar. The pillar of God is in control. We say, God, I know you're in control. I just don't know that you're so good. You're calling the shots, you're making things happen, but I don't know that you're thinking for my good, for everyone's good, which leads to a suspicion of God if you stay here. And vice versa, if you're over here and you only hang on to this pillar and not the other pillar, if you hang on to the fact that, hey, God, I know you're good, but I don't feel like you're in control of anything. God, I feel like you have no idea what you're doing. Which leads to a place of despair. And Paul is saying, hey, listen, we need to put ourselves here between these two pillars and say, hey, God, I thank you. I rejoice in the fact that you are good and you're in control. I may not understand it all. It may not make sense, but I believe you're good and you're in control. And we see that. Let me show this here in verse number 4 here in just a minute. We got first, God is in control, right? He said, rejoice. Who? What did Paul say? Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Now, Paul could have picked out any names for God to rejoice in. Any names. There's a bunch of names that Paul could have put right here instead of Lord. But he chose that word Lord because you know what Lord means? Lord means owner. The word Lord means master. The word Lord means the one who called the shot. The one who is in control. And that's why Paul said, Lord, hey, we need to rejoice in the Lord because he is in control of it all. And this is hard for us. Because we like to be in control of our own stuff, in our own lives, of our own situation. But here's the deal. The more in control we become, the more in control we try to make it, the more out of control we get. And God wants us to have his peace. And how do we find peace? We've got to let go of our control and give it to him. Give control to the one who's always had it in the first place. And that's what Paul, he's trying to teach us. He said that our deepest hurts oftentimes expose our deepest need to trust God. Many times we just don't believe he's in control, and that's why he taught us it twice. He said we've got to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you. All whose thoughts are fixed on you, God. Trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. My friend, instead of trying to always be in control of everything in our lives, the Bible said there's a better way. Rather than trying to seek control, God invites you to let go of control to him. So peace comes when we surrender control to the one who's never lost it. But not only is God in control, but God, right, he's also good. He's both. And notice what he said in verse 5. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Paul's saying here, he talks about gentleness be evident to all. He said when the world is anxious and reactive, be gentle. When people are hostile, respond with grace. When you're under pressure, show the world what peace looks like. Paul's not saying that we be quiet and hide. That's not what he's saying. Paul was a man of boldness. But Paul also said in Ephesians chapter 4, he said that we are to speak the truth in love. He said, hey, there's a gentle way of doing things. And so Paul is saying here, let your spiritual maturity show in how you treat people, even when life is difficult, even when life is unfair, even when life is hard. Let other people see a quiet strength rooted in your confidence that God is near. That God is near. He is close to us. Life, even when life throws curveballs, and when the curveballs have curveballs, when it, you know, when it's just like a double hit, and a double whammy, God is near. God has never ghosted you. He is close. He is good. He's never left you once. There's never been a moment in your life that God has not been on his throne next to you. He's so good. Romans chapter 8, I love it. Verse 28, Paul says, we know that in all things God works together for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. God has a master plan. He is working it all together for our good. No matter what comes our way, even when you don't see it, even when you don't feel it, God is working all things for good. And I know that sometimes that feels hard, that's hard to believe. But we have to remember that God is in control. We got to remember that God is good. My question is, have you positioned yourself here between these two pillars of truth? The peace of God right here. Then Paul said one more thing that's so important, and I want to get to the verse number 6. He said, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, the word every means no matter what it is, big situation, small situations. In every situation, he said, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. In other words, we need to ask God for help. Peace is found on the path paved with prayer. I wonder how many of us this past week we've lost sight of these two truths. We reacted in the ways that we shouldn't have, and we never went to God in the first place. He said, if you want the peace of God, remember, I'm good, I'm in control. And then talk to me. Come to me. I love what Matthew chapter 11 said. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, all who are burdened with life. Come to me. And he said, and I will give you rest for your soul. You have a heavenly Father that wants to talk to you. He cares about you. He cares about the minute details of our lives. You see, God is great, not just because nothing is too big. God is great because nothing is too small. Whatever it is, give it to God. Catch all your anxiety. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Catch all your anxiety. Catch all your burden. Catch all your worries on him. All your fears on him, because he cares for you. This weekend I was reading Psalm 13. Short little psalm, 6 verses. And through this psalm, I felt the love of God comforting me through his word. I want to invite you into the words of Psalm, someone who knew what it feels like to feel abandoned, forgotten, overwhelmed, hurting, in pain. King David, he wrote this during one of the hardest seasons of his life. And it begins, and you'll see this in a minute, it begins with this brutal honesty. Four times he cries out, "How long, God? How long, Lord? When is it gonna get better?" But it ends with a quiet, powerful decision. We see that he's gonna trust in God's love and to sing even in the pain. I want to look at Psalm 13 real quick. I got it on the screen. Bible said this, "How long, Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death, and my enemy will say, 'I have overcome him,' and my foes will rejoice when I fall." But look what David wrote here. He said, "But in spite of my feelings, I'm making a decision." He said, "But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. God, I believe you're good. God, I believe you're in control." And then it said, "I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me." See, David's circumstances hadn't changed. He was still in a dark season, but he changed his focus. He said, "I'm going to trust in God's love. I'm going to rejoice in God's salvation and God's rescue. I'm going to sing because God, no matter what, has still been so, so good." In the same way, you and I can choose to worship. Not just because everything's right in the world, but because God has never stopped being good and being in control. In a minute, we're gonna worship. But before we do, I wanna pray. I want to invite you to have a silent moment of prayer right where you're sitting. And right from this psalm that we just read in verse number 6, where it says, "I will sing the Lord's praise for he has been good to me," I want us to respond back to God in a prayer prompt I want to give you. Right in the silence of your heart, hit the prayer prompt on the screen. "God, I praise you because you have been good to me even when fill in the blank." You might pray something like this in your chair. "God, I praise you because you have been good to me even when I felt alone, or even when I didn't get the answers I was hoping for, or even when the world around me is broken, or when someone I love was taken too soon, even when I didn't feel your presence near to me." Why don't you take a minute and pray right where you're at. Just use that prompt. Whatever your situation, whisper your own word to God. Let your pain become praise. Not because everything makes sense, but because he has always been so good. In just a minute, I'm going to pray, and after I pray, we're going to worship. You can, when Pastor Tom can invite you to stand. If you want to continue to pray, maybe pray down at the altar. You can come forward down here and pray right here. You can pray in your chair. You can sing. Use your time to reflect on who he is. God is so good. Let's pray. God, we come to you today with hearts that are heavy. We're broken. Our hearts are broken over what we see around us. like David, sometimes we cry out, oh Lord, how long? How long will sorrow and suffering seem to win? And yet, like David, God, we choose to trust. We remember your unfailing love. We rejoice in your rescue, your salvation that you have given us through your Son, Jesus. And even when our heart hurts, we will sing because you have been good to us. God, you are near to the brokenhearted. You are the rock that we stand on, that cannot be shaken. And even in our pain, we declare, you are worthy of it all. Help us, God, to live anchored in the middle of these two truths of who you are, that you are good, that you are in control. Fill us with your peace, a peace that passes all understanding. Guard our hearts and minds in your Son, Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.